Good morning, class.
Good morning, Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, where I learn how to be an overcomer. It is good to win. It is good to not be overwhelmed and overcome, but to overcome. In fact, the scripture says that we've been made more than conquerors. What does it mean, more than a conqueror? I mean, isn't winning enough? Nope. What does it mean, more than a conqueror? Well, without going into a lot of detail, not only do you win, you go everywhere and tell everybody that the devil could not do it. He could not take you out, and you make him wish he would never have messed with you, because you won't hush about it, and other people get stirred up, and they get victories too, and they get to believing that they don't have to be oppressed, and they can get free. Somebody say, I am. Victorious in Christ. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for being so good to us, so gracious to us today. We ask for the utterance, the direction, answers for everyone, everywhere, as only you can do it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've been now for weeks on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And I think some folks are getting convinced that it is God's will, right, to be abundantly provided for. We've been given one by one 30 reasons. That's quite a bit. 30 reasons, not opinions and theories, from Scripture, involving hundreds of verses, why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why don't you say it out loud? Abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always
God's will
for us all.
Abundant provision
is always
God's will
for me. You can't have faith in an area until you get the question of God's will settled in that area. When we're talking about faith, we're not just talking about faith in faith or faith in faith principles. We're talking about faith in the person of God. Faith that God has, will, is doing things. Well, how can I, you know, reasonably and confidently expect him to do something only based on what he said? Right? You can expect him to do what he said or to confirm what he said. You can fully, without reservation, expect that.
Yes.
No wondering, no wavering. Well, has he revealed that provision is his will?
Yes.
That abundant, he has. I know some people still scratching their head about it, but I'm convinced.
Amen.
And I think if you'll stay hooked with us enough, you'll get convinced. Not because of what I think, because of all these scriptures.
Yes.
Hmm? And so we're giving one by one these 30 reasons. And we're down to reasons 17 and 18 in our study that deals with the blessing of the covenant and the curse of the law. And go back with me to Deuteronomy 28, if you would. Deuteronomy 28. We had seen in previous classes that Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And then verse 14, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. We might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. So that's new covenant. That's New Testament. We need to know what we've been redeemed from, and we need to know about the blessing. In fact, if you haven't heard about the blessing, you haven't heard the gospel. Did you hear that or not?
Yes.
Somebody said, where'd you get that? Galatians 3, read it, right? Read, it's right there. Galatians, and you know, that's all I'm going to say about that. Deuteronomy 28, are you there? We saw that he began in verse 1 saying, if you would listen to God, and if you would do what he tells you to do, all these blessings would come on you and overtake you. And we said the way we do that in the new covenant is we live by faith. We walk in love and we're led by the Spirit. And it's the scriptures that deal with each one of those that say that's the fulfilling of the law for us in the new covenant. He said all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. I want to hear somebody say, I believe it. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Somebody say, that's me. That's me. Bless the fruit of your body, fruit of your ground, fruit of your cattle, increase of your kind, flocks of your sheep. Say it out loud. That's me. That's me. Blessed shall be your basket, your store, when you come in, when you go out. Somebody say, that's me. That's me. Are we reading the will of God?
Yes.
If it's a blessing, if the Bible calls it a blessing, don't question it, don't wrangle about it. It is the will of God.
Amen.
That's revealed, right? Just like it's His will that you trust Him and listen to Him and obey Him and follow Him. And so in verse 15, though, he says it'll come to pass if you won't listen. If you won't hearken to the voice of your God, if you won't do His commandments and what He tells you to do, that all these curses will come on you and overtake you. And just the exact same phrases that He said you'd be blessed, in every one of those ways and places, you'd be cursed. Now, you'll hear modern day people who think, you know, well, we're educated. We know better than all that. We don't believe in all this blessing, cursing stuff. Well, it's real whether you believe in it or not. And if you don't believe in it, that's a sign it's going to kick you around and it's going to destroy you. And you can look at your diplomas and say, I'm too smart for this, but it's still going to eat your lunch. Or you could come join us,
yes,
who are redeemed from the curse,
yes,
and step into the blessing and see what the blessing of God can and will do in your life every day of your life. I mean, the blessing of the Lord is 24/7. It's everywhere you go, everything you do. You lay your head on the pillow at night and what's there? The blessing. Is that right? He gives His beloved sleep. And you sleep like a blessed baby. Right? You don't have bad nightmares. You commune with God in the nighttime. And you wake up and you are blessed. Hallelujah. And you pour milk on your cornflakes and they are blessed. Is that right? And you put your socks on and they are blessed. And you put on your blessed clothes and you go get in your blessed car and you go to your blessed job or your blessed school. Are y'all with me now? This is 24/7. Well, sadly, the curse is too. The curse is against you. The blessing is for you. The curse robs you, strips you, humiliates you, defeats you. The blessing lifts you, increases you, gives you favor, right? Prospers you. Now, skip down if you would, and let's see specifically about provision, material provision. Verse 29, it says, you'll grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness. You will not prosper in your ways. Let's just stop right here. Not prospering is what? A curse. What do we know about that? Cannot be the will of God for me not to prosper.
Right?
Cannot be. You won't prosper. You'll be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, all the time, and no man will save you. Put your finger on that verse right there. Say, that ain't for me. That's the curse of the law. And what about Galatians 3:13? Christ has redeemed us. Right? From what? From this. Specifically this. Verse 30. You'll betroth a wife, and another man will lie with her. What? You'll build a house, but you won't live in it. Are you hearing the curse? You'll plant a vineyard, and not gather the grapes thereof. Do you see the work of the curse? These are people that are working, that are planning, that are trying to get their life dream, and it looks time, just about time you got it, it gets snatched away. You lose it. You're hit. You're hurt. You're taken out. Cursed. I said cursed. What do we know if it's cursed? Help me out. Help me out. Huh? If it's a curse, and this is not my opinion or yours, if this Bible called it a curse, what do I know? It could never be the will of God for me or for any child of God listening to God. Keep going. Your ox will be slain before your eyes, but you won't eat thereof. Your donkeys violently taken away and won't be restored to you. Your sheep are given to your enemies and you don't have anybody to rescue them. And your sons and your daughters will be given to other people, and your eyes will look and fail longing for them all the day long, but there's no might in your hand. What are we reading?
Curse.
Why does the curse come? See, Proverbs says the curse causeless shall not come. So why does the curse come? Well, verse 15 is as plain as you can make it. Wouldn't listen to God. Wouldn't listen to him. Wouldn't serve him. Wouldn't obey him. Rejected him. Forsook him. Replaced him with other gods. Then you are going to get the curse. You won't be able to get away from it. But you and I are not those people. We have come and received Jesus. We have bowed our knee to the Lordship of Jesus. We have received all that he's done for us, and that includes redeeming us from all of this. Aren't you thankful, child of God? He said, the fruit of your land and all your labors, a nation that you don't know, will come and eat it up, and you will be only oppressed and crushed always. Does this sound bad? Because it is bad. Skip down to verse 38. You will carry much seed out into the field and gather but little in. The locust will consume it. Could it ever be God's will for pests and insects to come in and destroy your crops? People say, we don't know why God's doing this. It's a sign of the end times. It's a curse. I said, it's a curse. Huh? It's a sign somebody ain't listening to God. Is that right? It's a sign people have taken God out of their life and removed him from things. If it's the curse, it cannot be the will of God. You'll plant vineyards and dress them, but you won't drink the wine, and you'll gather grapes. You won't gather the grapes because the worms will eat them. See, we need to understand. He painted a picture in the first 14 verses of flocks and herds that are healthy and protected and increasing. And you started out with 300 cows, and in a few years you got 3,500 cows. Huh? And you're not losing them to disease or to wild animals. You're not losing your crops to drought or grasshoppers or locusts or any kind of weather events. All of that stuff is curse, 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 so it cannot be the will of God. I know people try to say it is, but I believe the Bible. I believe the Scripture. He said that the stranger that's within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. This would be, today this would be applicable to unbelievers. Unbelievers that are controlling your life, and you got no say in things, and you got no authority, and you got no control. Everybody say curse. Curse. It's the curse. and it cannot be the will of God. He said he will lend to you, but you won't lend to him. He will be the head and you will be the tail. And all these curses will come on you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you're destroyed. Because sometimes I just get mad and want to do it. Huh? And sometimes I do it and it's mysterious will. You won't understand it, but I'm doing things. No, it's because you would not hearken, you would not listen, you would not do. So that's the part people want to get away from. They don't want to accept responsibility. That I didn't listen. That I cut God out. That I left God out. Whether it's a family, a person, or a country. But no, none of this is God's will. He told you what his will is in the first part of the chapter. Right? What's his will? Listen to me. Right? Every day. Just listen to me. And do what I tell you to do. And what will happen? All these blessings, which included, you'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be above. But now, if you don't listen, all these curses will come on you. And the reason is, verse 45, because you would not listen. Verse 46, they'll be on you for a sign and a wonder and on your seed forever. See, just like we read in verse 10, he said, you'll be blessed when you go out, when you come in, everything you set your hand to, your basket, your storehouses. And he said, people will see it. They will see it. And they will fear and they'll show respect for God. Well, here he's saying that they will see this too. They will see how destroyed and devastated you are. It's written in other passages, but he said it would come to pass that people would see how devastated they are and go, what happened here? And he said, people will say it's because they forsook their God. They left him and he left them in the hands of their enemies and left them to their self. And notice verse 47. Oh, are you awake, class? Or are you listening? He said it's because you didn't listen, verse 45. And verse 47, it's because you served not the Lord with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Oh, this is revelation. I said, this is revelation. Not only are we supposed to believe that it's God's will for us to have plenty, to have abundance, even to have some nice things, it is his will that other people see it. And it is his will that we don't hide it, that we rejoice in it, and that we talk about it, how good God is to us. Do you see what he's saying? Why the curse came on them? Because when they started out and the blessing was on them, he said, you didn't serve me with joyfulness. And you weren't glad about it. For what? The abundance of all things. You've got pastors. You've got Christians who hide their increase. If they get a nicer house, they hide it. They don't want to tell anybody. Oh, somebody speak against me. Let me help you. They will speak against you. But get over it. Is that right? Yeah. Now, look, we can agree. Lying is wrong. Yeah. Stealing is wrong, right? If you lied to get it and stole to get it, I'm not surprised you want to hide it. But if it came the right way, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. If you didn't lie, if you didn't steal, if you just followed him and did what he told you to do, and he blessed you, and he increased you, and he added things to you, and even gave you the desires of your heart, and fulfilled visions and dreams, do not hide it. Don't act like it didn't happen. Part of your witness is enjoying it and serving him with joy and being glad and telling everybody he did it. Hallelujah. Giving him the glory, giving him the praise, giving him the testimony. You know, my wife Phyllis and myself, we've been pastoring for decades now, And when we get a big blessing, we put it on the big screen. Right? We put it on the big screen. We say, hey, look what we got. Why? Because we didn't lie to get it. We didn't steal. You see what I'm saying? We didn't steal. And some of these things were 10 years in coming. Some of them were 20 years in coming. Well, when the Lord does something good for you, don't hide it. Like the 10 lepers, you know, and they got healed and only one came back. The Lord said, where's the other nine? Right? Where everybody that got that benefit should be shouting it from the rooftops. Is that right? Man, I was lost, but now I am found. I was sick, but I am healed. The Lord has brought me out. I was broke. I was down, but God has lifted me up. And look here. Look where I'm living now. Look what I'm driving. Look what I'm wearing. Look what I'm eating. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And I decided this disobedient, not listening stuff is not for me. Nuh-uh, that's a curse, folks. They can have all that. I'm going to listen. I'm going to obey. I'm going to pray and seek God and find His plan and follow His will. And He said, I would eat the good of the land. He said all these things would be added to me. Am I quoting scripture, class? He goes on to say, because you didn't serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you will serve your enemies, which the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and want of all things, and He will put a yoke of iron on your neck until He have destroyed you. Want of all things is a curse. Therefore what? It can never be the will of God. I've been redeemed from it. Right? Hunger, thirst, nakedness, want of all things. Could that ever be the will and plan of God for your life? Some kind of blessing in disguise. Could never be. Could never be. Now granted, it's possible in your pursuit to serve and obey God, you make sacrifices. Right? And they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There may be times people try to come and even try to take things away from you or hurt you or slow you down just because you're trying to obey God. But that doesn't mean that poverty's God's will. And if you will sow a seed of whatever it takes, what kind of sacrifice, just sow it and say, hey, there's a lot more where that came from. Do you believe God will bring you up and bring you out and restore whatever was lost, and you will experience the blessing? Not want of all things, but plenty of all. He said plenteous in goods, you remember, on the first part of that. If you back up just a verse or two, a page or so, you will see also in Deuteronomy 26, which is the tithing chapter. Tithing chapter, he tells when you come into the land and you're blessed and you got bumper crops and your herds and your flocks and everything's just teeming and increase. He said, you bring your first fruits and your tithes and you come before the Lord and you hold it up before the Lord and you say, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. You read it and see what I'm talking about. But you say, man, I was lost. I was a heathen. I was a slave. And God brought me out. He brought me out with miracles and signs and wonders. And He brought me to the place here today. And look at this. God has given me all this. And I've brought the first fruits. And I've brought the tithes. And I've brought the offering. But notice what He said. The ninth verse. He says, He brought us into the place. He's given us this land that flows with milk and honey. Now I've brought the first fruits. You set it before the Lord. You worship the Lord your God. And what else do you do? Verse 11. What do you do? Rejoice. See, many have not understood. This is part of tithing. Yes. You hadn't really tithed until you do this too. You shall what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice in every good thing that the Lord has given you. You, your house, the stranger that's with you, your cat, your dog. Huh? Isn't that what I'm talking about? What are we going to do? We're going to praise God. We're going to tell everybody how good God is. We're going to rejoice in His goodness. That's part of our witness. Say it out loud. Don't hide it.
Don't hide it.
The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. And when He does something in your life that enriches you, you know, don't brag and don't just try to bug people about it and push it off on them, but don't hide it either. I said, don't hide it. And then if something comes up and people want to know more, they're open to hearing. You tell them how good God is, how He brought you from such a low place and a place of lack, and how He's still receiving people into the family, into the flock. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it out loud. I will.
I will.
Rejoice.
Rejoice.
In the goodness of my God.
In the goodness of my God.
I will be glad.
I will be glad.
And I will announce.
And I will announce.
And rejoice.
And rejoice.
And glory.
And glory.
In every good thing.
In everything.
From my good God.
From my good God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, our time's up again. Ain't it good to be blessed and not cursed? We'll see you soon back here in Faith School. I've enjoyed being with you again this week. We're growing. We're coming up higher. I always like to speak over our partners at the end of the week because you have a big part of this. Many of you are partners. If you want to become a partner, information's on the screen. But joining us in faith and finances, I have a right, we have a right to believe with you for yours. Like we're seeing here today, poverty doesn't glorify God. It can be occasion for God to be glorified in the provision, in the abundance. Father, I speak over our partners and we say, Lord, get glory to yourself in our finances. I pray over their families, their businesses, their ministries, their churches. The poverty doesn't glorify you, but being delivered out of it and the abundance glorifies you. The sickness doesn't glorify you, but the healing and the restoration. The sin doesn't glorify you, but the salvation glorifies you. Get glory to yourself, O God, in our deliverance and healing and prosperity and abundance. I speak blessing and increase over all of our partners in Jesus' name. Amen. We're expecting that. We're believing that. We'll see you soon again here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390